Well, good morning to you all, River Life, and for anybody that's just tuning in, or I think that's the phrase you'd use, it's really good to be here. You know, I would say as a thankful person, and I always tend to think of, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us really rejoice. You know, what an opportunity it is. And, you know, the sun shines, and I hope you too have lots to be thankful for. I'm going to read a verse from Scripture, and then I'd just like us to pray as we begin. It's from John 10:10. It's one of my absolute favourite verses. I have lots of favourites. But this one is, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But this is what Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Other translations talk about abundance, that Jesus has this idea about life, that you have this life in abundance. And I just think, you know, that is God's desire for us as individuals, as people, that we would experience this abundant life. So let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you that you are the God of the impossible. You're the God of the miraculous. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the God who provides, who cares for us, who is interested in us. I mean, why on earth you should be interested in, you know, people like me, you know, sometimes, well, not sometimes, is beyond me. And yet, Lord, as I read through the Bible, as we just capture a glimpse of who you are, you know, so often we can get caught up on so many things, but your message is one of love, of grace, of mercy, you know, of wanting to be in relationship with us, is wanting to know us. And, you know, and when we screwed up, when we got it wrong by going our own way, you know, like sheep that have all gone astray, and you know, but you, Lord, you know, you laid the sin of the world on your Son Jesus Christ, you know, to redeem us, to bring us back into that relationship with you, so that we might have a chance of experiencing all the fullness, the goodness that you have in mind for us. So, Lord, as we meet together online, as we celebrate all that you are, we pray that we would just receive something from you, that you would speak into our hearts, and we would capture a glimpse of the majesty, of the greatness and the goodness of God this morning. All, and of course, this is all wrapped up, all presented in that person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What a saviour, what a God we serve. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This week we're into September now, and I was reading a little gardening magazine yesterday, you know, just about, you know, when the light changes. And I think, yeah, so often, I don't know what it's called, but as a photographer, you know, for all my life pretty much, you know, you just see the change in the light, you know, coming to September, the softness of the light. And you know, it's one of the reasons why, you know, September, again, everything's my favourite, but September really is one of my favourite months because of the colours, because of the softness of the light. It's the reason that I chose to get married in September. So this week is a big week for us, but it's also a big week for the church, because this week, on the 10th of September, not only are we going to be celebrating another year of marriage, but Peter Templeton is going to be launching Kintsugi Hope, a group which is online. And I'm going to just share a message from Peter in a moment. And Peter's going to just put just on the Facebook page, you know, if you still want to get involved with this on Thursday, there's still time. And he's going to put the contact details up on the Facebook page. So if you do want to get in touch, please do. Here's Peter.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're well. Just a reminder that this coming Thursday, the 10th of September, 7:30 p.m., we will be starting the Kintsugi Hope Wellbeing Group with its first meeting. The subject this week will be honesty. If you want to get a flavour for that, there was a posting I did a few weeks ago that's on the church's Facebook group. I want to thank all of those who've signed up, and I hope you've got all your Zoom instructions. If you need any help with that, give me a shout over the next day or two. You should have my email address already. If anybody else wants to still to join in, the door is open. The group's filling up a little bit, but maybe room for one or two more. I will put my email address on this live stream, and you know, I can let you know how to join in. If you're not going to be part of this, then please would you bear us in your thoughts and your prayers. This is something new for the church. It's a little new for me. It's about 30 years since I did something like this in a church. So I probably will be feeling a little bit of first night nerves. But really hoping that, you know, behind all of this is helping people to engage with real life, day-to-day things that we all have to deal with, whether we're Christians or whether we're not. And, you know, it may be to help people take better care of themselves and their own well-being, or to help others with theirs, to be more useful, to be more understanding, to be more caring, to be more practically helpful. So there's something there, you know, whichever side of the fence you're on there. So it's a great opportunity, something that is allowing us to be part of something bigger in the country. You know, lots of churches getting involved, lots of people being trained up. So looking forward to it, looking forward to spending time with all of you. Have a little bit of fun, learn a bit. And yeah, take care, have a good week. See you Thursday.
Thank you, Peter. And we're praying that all will go well. Let's worship God with a song. I heard this last week. Tom and Nicola and Gary. And last week I was away, I was in Dorset, and you know, I just sat up the garden, glorious sunshine. I didn't think it was so sunny here, but anyway, and just listening. And I listened on headphones, and the quality, if you're listening on headphones, lucky you, because the quality of What a Beautiful Name, the way it's been put together, is absolutely fantastic. And you know, I just pray that it helps you really grasp, you know, because what a beautiful name, what a beautiful song this is, as we worship God together.
You are the one at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You're here.
Well, I jolly well hope I had my microphone off then. Absolutely fantastic. I absolutely love that. It was so special, very special, you know, especially over the time of my 3 months that, well, lockdown or sabbatical for me. But just I listened to that so many times. What a powerful name. What a wonderful name. What a beautiful name. Our God is amazing. When I've been doing this, one of the things I've been really keen to do is actually listen to other people, what's been going on in other people's lives, because I understand that it's not always a bed of roses. And one person, well, we heard from Denise last time I was doing this, I think it was the end of August, and just hearing about, you know, the way in which God has been speaking to her. And another person that had come to my mind, and of course I hadn't got any other weeks left, but I had this week. So I've asked Kate if she would just put together just some thoughts, or not so much thoughts, but how things happen for her. You know, as some of you might know, that she's a teacher, and I'll let her begin to outline, you know, some of the challenges and some of the good things that came about throughout lockdown, throughout the period that we all had to take off. So here's Kate Butler.
Hello, church. How are you? I've missed you all loads. Well, it seems like a lifetime ago since we were told to stay at home and save lives. And so now we've stayed at home, saved lives, done up our houses, a lot of us. And, you know, I'm interested to know what else you've been doing. So please drop me a line and let me know what you've been getting up to. But now, you know, it's more about opening up and getting back to normal, which is great. I'm really looking forward to when we're ready for church to meeting again weekly. So as you know, the beginning of the lockdown experience was quite stressful for us all as a family, because we had both boys with COVID and Noah suffered quite bad. So that was a bit of a worry. But, you know, with prayer and proper medical attention and amazing National Health Service, he soon overcome the disease and the virus, and, you know, we were sort of fighting fit. So what we found was that, you know, society has just allowed us to get into this really stressful pattern of life where we're working, we're coming home. I mean, I think we have one evening a week where we don't have a club to go to with the kids. And it's, you know, it's so full on. And the weekends, we've got football and church and shopping and getting prepared for the week ahead. So it's, you know, it was so lovely to actually have that time for us to work on our piece of land. You know, we're given land by the Lord, we're given our homes, but yet it's so easy for us to be so busy that we don't get a chance to actually nurture and look after what we've got. So Henry's asked me to just share a few of the experiences of what happened for us during lockdown. So I thought I'd just show you some of what we've been getting up to. So I'm going to share this slide now. And this, let me just get this on full screen. So firstly, for me, it was just so lovely to have more time with my Bible and more time, you know, just spending time reading my Bible, praying, and just, you know, walking closely with God. It was actually really, really lovely. So going to the beach, I mean, whenever we go to the beach, we've always got our cool bag, we've got the bag with all the back buckets and spades, bags with the inflatables. But, you know, it was just so nice to just make sure that the Bible was in the bag. So it was really, really lovely that we had that time. We took time to just take walks. Like my neighbour and myself, we're lucky if we can get two walks in a week. But during lockdown, we were just walking every single day. It was amazing. I painted my driveway wall there, as you can see, which was quite lovely. And then myself and the children, we looked at our garage wall and our shed, and we thought, well, that needs doing up. So we looked after that as well. And then, you know, looking at how great that made us feel to tidy up our own houses, we went round and saw our lovely neighbour, and Noah got to work on Jan's driveway, which he was really pleased about, and George helped his grandparents by doing their driveway too. We took a lot of time planting, and you know, and we were sowing seeds and made our own little mini greenhouses. And then, as you can see, we grew some really lovely vegetables, which were, you know, and so many strawberries, which was just brilliant. It was really good for us as a family to do that together. And the boys took part in major Lego builds. And even sort of with the boys' schooling, we did a virtual in-house arts competition and their sports day. Now, this is a cake that they made for their competition. They didn't come first. I'm very disappointed about that because they did put a lot of time in it. We even did a virtual sports day, which was amazing. And, you know, without the pressures of having to get up for school, the boys made a camp in their bedroom and they slept there for 10 days once in their camp, like 10 days on a 10 nights on a row. They were camping. You know, we had time to just go off and swim in the lake nearby. I bought a bike rack and we took our bike. We put our bikes on the back of the car and went off cycling. And for me, this was a first. I drew 12 different pictures to make sure the measurements were right and ordered nearly 100 different pieces to make Noah some shelves for his bedroom, which were fantastic. I also made some for George, but I'm not going to put those on there because hopefully when you all, when we, you know, open up completely and you pop around for a cup of tea, you'll be able to, I'll have something to show you that we did. So, yeah, you know, that's what we got up to. We were very busy. We had a great time. Let me just, there we go, we're finished. So we had a really good time. And then after all of this, I mean, the boys, actually, we did all of our schooling. The boys did every single lesson. I mean, they barely missed any apart from PE, where sometimes we'd go out for a walk during the PE lessons. But you know, it's just been amazing. It was so great and we were having a great time. And then just before we went on our holiday, George broke his leg, as you know, another disaster. And then with prayer, I mean, it looked really bad when we got to the hospital, but with prayer and a week of great treatment from the National Health Service, everything was great again. So, you know, it's, so it was stay at home and save lives. It really was for us. It was stay at home and save our home, really. You know, we spent so much time here. It's lovely. It's my favourite place. Anyway, really looking forward to seeing you all. Can't wait. Bye.
Thanks very much, Kate. If you're wondering what I'm doing, I have a little microphone, a little sticker that sticks across here, so I can't touch anything until I put the microphone back on. Anyway, thank you very much, Kate. That's terrific. I'm going to talk a little bit about this morning about one of my favourite psalms, which is Psalm 23. But before we do that, I'm going to read the scripture, and then we'll just say a word of prayer. Let me just pull up Psalm 23. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Excuse me. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Absolutely fantastic. Fantastic verses there. The way in which, you know, it begins with the Lord is my shepherd, And it ends with, you know, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, in a way, it just kind of frames that whole psalm. But let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you again as we look at your word, that you will speak to us through your word. Thank you that we have that revelation of you, Lord. And of course, that's personified in that person of Jesus. Lord, as we read about you in the Old Testament, it all points towards, you know, the revelation of Jesus, which was to come. And of course, you know, then we see, you know, in the Gospels, and of course, you know, then the Acts of the Apostles, and so it goes on. And Lord, we live with the knowledge, you know, through the Bible, of that great revelation that comes through your word, Lord, that makes such a difference to our lives. And I pray, oh God, that as we look at your word, as we hear a little bit about it, that we might be able to just to grasp a little bit more and to become more like Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, I'm just going to stick my little bit of sticky bit of paper up on the screen here. Okay, so Psalm 23 is called, it says on the top there, it's simple, got a title of A Psalm of David. That's the title. And yet for me, it's the most beautiful psalm that there is. You know, it's an incredibly popular psalm, especially at weddings and funerals. You might say, weddings? I've been to so many weddings over the years, and we've heard, you know, the Lord's my shepherd. Obviously, you know, here at funerals. In fact, I chose it for both my parents, so my mum and my dad, when they died. Such an incredible, you know, psalm. And it is by far my most favourite psalm. I put a little bit of in brackets beside it. I've put why. Why is it my favourite psalm? You know, because I've read, my Bible reading goes along the lines of reading, you know, at the moment it's Isaiah, for instance, and you know, but there's always a psalm in there, so I'm always reading a psalm. And you think all the psalms you've read, you know, there's, you know, the Psalm 121 or 122, I can't remember, you know, I lift my eyes to the hills, you know, where does my help come from? Psalm 46, you know, be still and know that I'm God, you know, God is our present help in times of trouble. You know, Psalm 91, there's so many brilliant psalms, but this psalm, this one, sticks out in my mind as being my absolute favourite. And it's been my favourite for many years. And this is why. Because most commentators believe that this psalm was written when David was older. I don't know whether that's true or not. But if this is the case, it's a fantastic testimony from David of God's goodness. And you know what? It certainly provides such hope for me. You see, David was a man. When you look at what David, you've got to read through Samuel's, the accounts from 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and you'll see in there, you know, the things that were good and sometimes not so good. You know, I've heard commentators sometimes say, you know, that David didn't really discipline his children. And of course, he got all that trouble with one of his sons, I think it's Absalom. You know, there was the issue with, you know, Bathsheba, you know, and then they tried to cover it up. And you think all these things that potentially, now Psalm 23 might have been written before that, but it might have been written at the end of his life. I tend to view it as a psalm that is just looking back on his life and just thinking. And, you know, it's another one of those really lovely songs, and we'll have it a bit later. You know, he's looking back on his life and saying, yeah, all my life, you have been faithful. Yes, I've messed up. But God, you have been incredibly faithful. And you see, above all else, this psalm gives me hope, because I mess up. You know, I get it wrong time and time again. You know, I act on presumption. You know, I do the wrong things. I say the wrong things. I get involved in the wrong way. And, you know, I think I know best. And at times, and yet, you know, this psalm just really gives me hope. Let's have a quick look at it. And when I say look at it, I probably don't get much further than verses 1 to 3, really, or any of the early part of verse 3. And do you know, even these bits that I'm just going to bring out from Psalms, verse 1 and 2, you know, I could actually, you know, I could say so much more. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, what it speaks of as I look at that is, it is personal. You see, the Lord is my rock. He is my redeemer. He is my shield. He is my strength. He is my hiding place. He is my saviour. He's my redeemer. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. It's so personal. And David says that the Lord is his shepherd, not just a shepherd. You know, it wasn't particularly uncommon in Middle Eastern cultures to have, you know, to say these things. About a king being, you know, having a deity that led him, and you know that's fairly common. But also, it's a common theme throughout the Bible that God, as a shepherd of his people, and you know, and of course, one of the things that sort of strikes me really is, and let's not forget, because we're going to be talking about this in literally around about 3 months' time, we're going to be talking about a group of smelly shepherds, dirty, lowest of the low, you know, who, you know, they were just unclean and put out, you know, on the side there. And yet, God himself identifies himself as the good shepherd. Let's just have a look at it, which is from John 10. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd." I am. Jesus is the good shepherd. He identifies immediately from that saying, you know, with the lowest of the low. You know, it was a job that was associated with the youngest of the member of the family. In other words, oh, I don't want to do it. 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 I was number three in the row of children. So my younger brother, he was the one who used to do a lot of the washing up. I used to get out of that. Well, lots of other reasons. But, you know, it was the lowest of the low. And David was, you know, the youngest. And so we just put out with the field. And yet that's where God wanted him to be, because God identifies himself as a good shepherd, the good shepherd, not just any shepherd, but he's our good shepherd. He's my good shepherd. You know, when we're talking about the Lord is my shepherd, we're talking about this Jesus that came in the person. You know, God became flesh. You know, he is the shepherd that David is referring to. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd really cares for his sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, you know, and you know, because Jesus is that good shepherd, he's prepared to leave the 99 on the hillside to look for me, to look for you, you know, and he will never stop working, as the song goes, never stop looking, never stop searching, you know, no wall too hard to break down, you know, no ravine is too deep for him to fish somebody out. I don't know if you remember, and I think there was Peruvian miners that got stuck in a mine many years ago, and they were pulled out one by one, an immense cost it must be, and the world was watching, and you could just feel it, that sense of the lengths that they'll go to save one life. And Jesus is the good shepherd who's prepared to leave the 99 on the hillside to look for me and you. You know, David was speaking from personal experience. He knew what it meant to be a shepherd. He knew that sheep were precious. They're not a wild animal, that they were cared for, watched over, and a good shepherd might leave the flock on their own to retrieve the lost sheep. Second page, only two pages. But that's not what all it says, you know, in verse one. So if you're only looking at verse one, and we've only looked at, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, but it also says, I shall not be in want. And to me, that's what kind of where it gets a little bit tricky, if I'm honest, because, you know, I have lots of wants, and sometimes it doesn't always quite happen that way, really. And, you know, my plans, I might have said this before, so forgive me if you've heard it before, but, you know, my plans for my 3 month sabbatical were, you know, was cycling and a bit more cycling. A little bit more cycling, a bit of swimming, a bit more cycling, a bit more swimming. The whole thing culminated in a 5-day trip from Hayville. And I was going to cycle with a couple of others to Holland and be back on the Sunday the 31st, ready for work on the 1st of June. Maybe it wasn't very wise anyway, but that's what I wanted. That was my plan. And yet God had other ideas. He knew exactly what I needed. And I tell you what, it was the best, best time. You know, as Kate was saying in her little talk there, you know, just about, you know, lockdown for her was a really good time. Lockdown for me was a terrific time. 10.5 weeks of being at home, you know, praying, seeking God and just hearing God, refreshing the vision, you know, just refreshing, you know, that relationship with God. I came out of it with two things, you know, my relationship with God so much more strengthened, and the vision that I originally got 20 years ago, you know, just reconfirmed in my heart. You know, God knew what I needed. And sometimes, you know, we can ignore that at our peril, really. And that's when we kind of get in a muddle. Just a little funny little story. We were just talking about this because one of our... sorry, just received a little message there. Excuse me. Oh, yeah. I've got it, Paul. I heard you. Sorry about that. Well, it's probably better than me anyway. But anyway, I was just going to say, just literally about, that'll just help me to get my mind back into what we're saying, really. But one of the children used to say, you know, they would say, I need something. And of course, what they're actually saying was, is that they want, and Angela would often remind them and say, no, you don't need a biscuit, you'd like a biscuit. And they generally didn't have one anyway. But anyway, that's beside the point. Now, back to the, now that I'm back on where I should be. I was reading, you know, just online with a little bit by a chap called David Guzik or something like that. And he talks about I shall not want means all my needs are supplied by the Lord, my shepherd. It's also an act of the will. I shall not want means I decide not to desire more than what the Lord, my shepherd, gives. So, verses 2 and 3, until I've lost my train of thought a little bit, really, but let's just, yeah. Anyway, verse 2 and 3, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. And I've put a little note beside my words there. Wow, what more can be said? Philip Keller, in A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, writes that sheep do not lie down easily and will not unless four conditions are met, because they are timid. They will not lie down if they are afraid, because they are social animals. They will not lie down if there is friction among the sheep. If flies or parasites trouble them, they will not lie down. Finally, if sheep are anxious about food or hungry, they will not lie down. In other words, rest comes because the shepherd has dealt with fear, friction, flies, and famine. You see, Jesus leads us. You know, the shepherd, the good shepherd, leads us. You see, he leads us. He makes me lie down in green pastures beside quiet waters, and that's where he restores my soul. That's into part of verse 3. But if you look at it as a whole sentence there, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. It's a picture of abundance. You know, that abundant life that I spoke of, you know, John 10:10. You know, it's that abundance. Green pastures, lush grass with quiet waters running by. Just picture the scene. You know, there's that. One little commentary came up with the word flourish, and it's a word that I really, really like, that flourish word, because, you know, we're working within reach. My desire, and, you know, is that our clients will flourish, not just survive, and but they will thrive. You know, there will be a flourishing. You see, and this is what God wants for us. This is what Jesus wants for us. You know, that we will flourish, that we will really thrive. And so, of course, that good shepherd, you know, he leads me. The shepherd was the guide. The sheep didn't know, need to know. And I love this bit. And this is probably something that really stuck out on me this week. The sheep didn't need to know where the green pastures or still waters were. Let's think about that again. The sheep didn't need to know where the green pastures or still waters were. All the sheep needed to know was where the shepherd was. You see, all we need to know is where the shepherd is. You know, we can look for the blessing. We can look for riches. We can look for all kinds of things. But God says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given as well. The good shepherd knows exactly what we need, and he knows how to get it to us. I'm just going to finish on a little story, because we'd been married 25 years a few years ago, and we decided that we would take a holiday in Italy. We arranged it ourselves, and we decided to hire a car, something we'd not really done before. I'd rather just not bother, really. And anyway, so we decided to hire a car, go around Lake Garda and things like that. And we arrived at the hotel. We hadn't told anybody where we were going. In fact, we hadn't even told the children where we'd gone. But we went to this place in Lake Garda, and it was a really nice place. And when we got there, they said, Mr. and Mrs. Wilson. We said, yes. And they says, we reserve for you the best room of the hotel. And I just thought, well, who knows? Who knew? Who's upgraded us? Who's upgraded us? It was just really weird. And as I walked up those steps, I don't know about you, but I always get the hotel the furthest away from reception. Anyway, and so as I walked up the steps, you know, I just remember, I thought, well, who knew? And, you know, I honestly believe I heard a little voice inside my head whisper, I knew. I knew. I know what you need. You know, I would never have paid for the expensive place, but God did abundantly more, as another verse. But he did so much more than what we could expect, because his desire was that I would lie down in green pastures, and he led me beside the quiet waters, and he restored our soul, because he loves us, because he cares for us, because he wants the very best for us. Do you know that Psalm 23, verse 1, 2, and a part of 3. Can I come back next week and do the rest of it? Because I absolutely love, you know, this psalm. It's just so full of richness. And I hope you maybe just picked up a little bit more. You know, there's so much more that I could say on that. But time's getting short. And I think it's time that I moved on, really. Anyway, I do hope that God will bless you through this. And let's just pray together. Father, I do want to thank you for these verses from Scripture. And I'm conscious that I've gone on a bit too long, really. But I do thank you, Lord God, that there is so much richness, so much imagery that comes through the shepherd, that Jesus, the good shepherd who loves his sheep, who cares for his sheep, who's prepared to lay down his life for his sheep. And I pray, oh God, that we would have a greater understanding, you know, of the Psalms, of some of the imagery that's put across in your word. Lord, in the most simplest form is that you care for us, and that you love us, and you want to know us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's break bread together. And I was going to read that, just look at that verse again, really, which speaks about that, you know, which I've just mentioned again. You know, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. Hang on a minute, that's the wrong verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what it says. And, you know, Jesus laid down his life for us. So let's break bread together. I will struggle eating bread at the moment because I'm as dry as I don't know what. And so let's break bread together and, you know, remembering that God actually loves us. He gave his body for us. He's the good shepherd that laid down his life on the cross for us. And his blood, which, his blood was shed for us, you know. And so I've gone for a bigger glass this week because of that abundance that God wants us to really enjoy and to participate in. So let's eat together and remember what God did for us. And then let's remember as we take the wine as well. Thank you, Lord, that you died for us on the cross and made it possible for us to have that relationship with you. Amen. I'm going to finish with a song that Tom and Nicola recorded, and we've added some pictures. There's some of my photographs, and it does speak to me of the goodness of God. Pictures taken earlier this year during lockdown, and just listen to the words as we still reflect on our communion, our eating together, just reflecting on what God has done for us.
Your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, yes, I will sing. Close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my breath that I goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Tom and Nicola. Absolutely, such a lovely song. Do hope we'll see you over in the Coffee Hangouts very shortly. I'll put the, here we go. Do join us for prayer on Monday evening at 9 o'clock. See the Facebook details and join us, let's say, for prayer at 9 o'clock. The Connect groups begin this week. There's a few throughout the week. Again, they'll be on the Facebook page on our website, www.rolcc.org.uk, let's say, or obviously on the Facebook page. And of course, there's also prayer on Thursdays at 1 o'clock. So do stay connected. Do keep in touch with other people. And like I say, really do hope we'll see you over in the Hangouts very shortly. And let's just pray. Father, we do want to thank you for, you know, how you speak to us and the way in which you communicate with us. And we pray that as we go about our business, as we work in the world, as we work in the community, that we will bring, you know, something of the goodness and life and love of Jesus through. Thank you, Lord. Amen.